Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
And as I was sitting with that, just again meditating, have you noticed when you meditate on you would just feel his face. You would smell him. Used Old Spice. I can still smell that. So there was that part of my dad where I could climb up there, and it was my favorite place. But then there was that part of my dad that I was told to be home by 10, and I got home at 10 minutes after 10. Guess what? Grounded. 10 days. A day for every minute I was late. And it did not matter if prom landed in those 10 days. I shouldn't have been late. So I knew him as Bob. And then when I was 21, I didn't know this was going to happen, but this was one of my last conversations with my dad. I didn't know he was going to pass away. But he was laying on the couch and I was sitting on the floor. And he says, I just drove all night from Grimestown in Oklahoma, going back to school. And my brother and I heard her dad was sick, so we just had left go home and we just stopped in and drove straight through. And he was laying on the couch and I knelt down and talking to him. He said, oh, Beth, have you met that special someone? I said, no, Dad, I haven't. And so there was this part of my dad again that was just so near and dear to me. And when the Lord was just reminiscing with me about that, he goes, that's what I want people to know about me. A perfect father, a God three in one that has so many facets, and he wants us to know him in all the ways that he offers. And I feel like personally, sometimes we get so familiar with Jesus, who's just our homeboy and he's our buddy, and you know, and he wants to be our friend. The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But if we leave out a key component of King Jesus, then we're going to miss out on what the King has provided for my life, for your life. And I just think it's really important that we understand. So if you have a king, you're going to have to have a kingdom, correct? So if we define kingdom, we can say it's a country, it's a state, or a territory that's ruled by king, or the natural, sometimes by queen. It's a realm associated with or regarded as being under the control of a particular person. It's a spiritual reign or authority of God. It's really dominion or rulership. So let's go to Psalm 24:7 and see what the word says. I really want to show you where the Old Testament foretold of a king coming. It let us know, be on the lookout, there's a king coming. There's plenty of scriptures, I've only picked out a few. Psalm 24, starting in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Then if we turn over to Psalm 89, verse 27. Also, I will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Here we know that he's just not another king. He's going to be the highest of the kings of the earth. And I don't know about you, growing up in America, you know, kings, kingdoms, the most I've seen it is on Hallmark shows. You know, studied it in history and things like that, but it seems so removed. But when you put it into scripture, and it just pulls, for me, this majesty and awareness of a king being the supreme lead and authority. And he said, I'm going to make my firstborn the highest of the kings on the earth. Then if you turn over to Isaiah, this is the one for the season, most definitely. And you're going to be very familiar with it. Isaiah 9, starting in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. So here we see the prophetic saying unto us, the child is born, and telling us what to expect when this happens. And it's really interesting that word government there means entitlement to rule. And it's telling us that a king is the one who rules. And it says the government is going to be on his shoulders. That entitlement to rule will be on him. And there will be no end to that. And I feel like that's really important that we understand that that's a part of King Jesus, his assignment, what he establishes in his kingdom. And it says this kingdom will have no end. And it's important for us to realize that God cares about how things are ruled. And if you're a king over a kingdom, the governmental rule is a part of that. And that is part of what Jesus cares. It's really interesting, too, that if you think about this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, he left majesty. He left glory and took on humility. He took on humanity. He humbled himself, the Bible says. He took on the form of a servant and came as a man. In Philippians it says, therefore God also has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name. So I want to be changed by rehearsing what Jesus did, what it cost him to take on humanity so that you and I could be a part of his kingdom, so that we could have a family and have God be our father. But what he did was he left glory and took on humanity so that we get to have him. I don't know about you, but we're the winners in this. We got the best part. Daniel 2:44 talks about his kingdom, and it says his kingdom will endure forever. Daniel 7:14 says his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. It's a promise. God said, my kingdom will not be destroyed. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. Zechariah 9:9, behold, your king is coming. He is just and having salvation. You will be riding lowly on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So interesting, again, we have a prophet telling us what's going to happen to King Jesus. But it's not as people would expect a king. He's going to be riding a donkey, and not just a donkey, the colt of a donkey. So let's turn to Matthew 21, where we see the fulfillment of this king. I just love how we can say, this is going to happen, and here's where it happened. Matthew 21, 1-5. This is called the triumphant entry, and this is where Jesus, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. What I love about this is we should not question that he's king, that he's King Jesus. But how does that translate into my life? How does that translate into your life? When we turn to Matthew 2, and I'm trying to tie this all together, that we build this image of clean, 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 clean. What does he mean? Matthew 2, 1 through 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and have come to worship him." Where is he, king of the Jews? This was also prophesied. It's so interesting that they knew to look for him because they were students of what had been said. And they were students of the stars. And they wanted to know, and they had been following. Now, this is just a side note. They didn't show up at the king's size bed. It says they showed up at the house when he was a child. But they traveled a long way. They were following that star. And when they come to King Herod, we know that time had to have passed because when he's outraged, he kills all the male children 2 years old and under because of the passage of time. But I just look at this and I think, wow. King of the Jews. Where is he? They have been following. And it was so interesting what they said. We saw his star. And you might think when I was reading that, it just stuck with me. We saw his star. They saw King of the Jews' star. And you know something, we'll just stick with you and it just stays there. And you're like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to get out of that. It just stayed there. It just stayed there. And it was so interesting. The Lord says, do you know what that? My people, believers, the body of Christ, are to be shining so bright that people say, where is he? That we would live a light of shining so bright. And he took me to Daniel 12:3. Then the wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars. So modern day, we're supposed to be stars. Didn't you always want to be a star? I know, some of you wanted to be a rock star, Dave. You wanted to be a rock star, didn't you? No. But it just blessed me that the Lord said, what moved those kings, those wise men, to take their treasure and risk their lives and travel so far was a star that shone so bright. And then I read in Daniel, I'm going to read it again, then the wise, which is supposed to be us, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars. And I thought, God, that's my goal. I want to shine where people were to say, where is he? Why are you this way? I want to know your king. And I believe it's possible for us to live this way every single day. I believe it's possible to be in line to get coffee and cross that people say, where do you go to church? And I haven't said anything about church. But then what I realized is when people feel the presence of God, they connect it to church. And we want to connect them to King. King Jesus. So, you know, I know this will probably come later in the series, and there's a lot more to talk about King Jesus, but I will tell you in Revelation 19, this is how we know he's King of Kings. It says it's written on his robe. Did you know that? And on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have known children using that scripture to try to get their parents to say yes to a tattoo. Well, Jesus has it written on his thigh, King of Kings. So, I'm not saying that they should use that, but we'll see. So, when we look at unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I felt like the Lord really wanted me to focus in You know, if you're here, more than likely, you know I'm a Savior. You've encountered Him, you know you had a need, and you said, yes, I want Him. More than likely, everybody's here. But what's interesting is definitely the start of the story. And I put myself back into the story of seeing Jesus becoming human so that we could become family. And I wonder if the places they've checked that didn't have room for them, I can't wait to meet some of them. I think they're like, oh, we could have had Him at our place. And we said, sorry. I don't know. Because they were humans just like us. I think sometimes we distance the story and don't put ourselves in it. But the Lord says, Beth, have you made room for me? You know, there's areas I've closed down to Him. I've not walked away. I still love Him the very best I know how, but what I've learned is you can get calloused, you can get busy, you can let other things take priority. And I love revisiting something and saying, Lord, where can I let you be king? Do you know what you believe about Him? What do you believe about what the gospel says about Jesus and about you? What you believe is what you are going to experience. And I feel like sometimes our belief is a little bit crooked. And what I love about the Word is we read it, but it's really supposed to read us. To me, it's a lot like going to the doctor and getting a checkup. I remember one of my last checkups. The doctor said, so Beth, have you been exercising? And you guys, it had been the longest time in my entire life that I had not exercised. And I'm like, not really. Take the dog for a walk once in a while. And he looked at me and goes, you set the bar really high, didn't you? I left there. I didn't feel condemned. I didn't feel put down. But within 2 weeks, I joined a gym and I started working out. And I feel like that's what the Word of God is. It reads us. Sometimes it locates us. And so I'm asking from now until wrapping it up in a few minutes, where are you not letting Jesus be king? Because if you don't put value on the truth of what He says, you're not going to get the benefit of His kingdom. You know, it's interesting because we know that it says the kingdom has come to us, the kingdom is in us, the kingdom's yet to come. I mean, go figure. All of that is true. And all parts of it is true. But He only gets to be king. He clearly said to me, Beth, I only get to be king in the areas that you submit to me. When you put it under my rule, you put it under what I've asked in my Word. When you let go of what I've asked you to let go of, then I'll get to be king over that. I am not diminishing His power. I am not diminishing if He's the Lord of glory. I'm saying in my own personal life, if I'm not letting Him be the first, be the most high. Maybe for you, let's just look at some areas. Is it in your marriage? Is it in your business? Is it with your children? Is Jesus king in your relationship or your children? Or are your children ruling the house? Is Jesus king over your career? Do you regularly say, you're head of this. What do you want? What do you want to change? How about over your money? King Jesus, you own it all. I take nothing with me. You know, Queen Victoria, I had heard it said it was Queen Elizabeth, but that's wrong. It was her great-great-grandma. Queen Victoria so loved Jesus that she had said, I hope Jesus comes back in my lifetime so I can lay my crown at His feet. Which I thought was really powerful, even though her crown wouldn't have gone with her, right? But the idea of her knowing how valuable Jesus should be in all of our lives. And I feel like we don't always let Him rule and reign. Sometimes we settle, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, that is, I'm missing out on what he's inviting me into. You're missing out. You know, I think if you look at every kingdom, it has some things in common. It has the ruler, the king, so we're going to say King Jesus, right? But there's also a rule of law. There's a set of kingdom rules that kingdom operates under, right? And then there's the territory where those rules are established and exist. I cannot do God's will my way. I get to do God's will God's way. And so until I take note of things that are off, and when they get off, you guys, I have trained myself to say, God, this is really off. Where have I stepped? Where have I gotten off the path? I don't have peace in this area. Maybe there's been a time in finance. I don't have peace in this, God. Where have I stepped off? And he'll say, you haven't involved me. I still wrote a check, gave to the church, whatever. I didn't use my faith. I wasn't saying, Jesus, what else do you want to do? You're the king of my finances. What is it that you see? What is it that is possible when I'm joined with you and your lordship over this area? So I want to invite you tonight to think about, where have I not let him be king? Where have I not? I felt it so deep in my heart when he says, I'm not king over what you don't place under my rulership. So I want to ask you, are there areas in your life, are there areas of anything that pertains to you that you haven't let him be king over? And I want to say, why? Maybe you've been locked in a season of grief. Do you know who wants to be king over that? And he says that we will mourn. And he says, he'll comfort those who mourn. But then in his kingdom, he says, we do not grieve as those with no hope. So there's a kingdom set of rules for that. Or maybe you're lonely. Seems like the lonely in families. But guess what? You can get off in loneliness and you can become a victim. And you're no longer under King Jesus' rule for that area. And I have found such freedom in just, when I say continually, I mean daily. Like it's sometimes a couple times a day. Jesus, is there any area of my life that I believe you alive? Is there any area of my life that I'm holding on to and not letting go? Because I've lived enough life with God to know anything I hold on to and keep from him, I will lose. Everything I let go of and lay at his feet, I win. It might not be what I want. He may ask something of me that I have zero desire to do. And you know what I've learned? You can trust Jesus in that. And you can say, God, the Bible says you are at work within me, both to will and to do your good pleasure. Would you give me the will to want to do the thing you're asking me to do that I don't want to do? My honesty is free, but just because I'm honest doesn't mean I'm right. And a lot of people feel that. God is saying, this is where I want you. Follow me. If you allow him to be king over things you've held back, your expectations are going to change, your behavior will change, your that has never said yes to Jesus. Because to me, that's the most important. That's where it starts. And I wouldn't want this opportunity to go by. If you wandered in here, or if you've resisted him, and you don't even know why you came tonight. But if you said, I've never even known Jesus, I can give you that opportunity. I won't call you up here, I won't embarrass you, but if you have never said yes to Jesus, and if you died tonight, you have no idea where you go. Would you raise your hand, please? Because I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you as a church. Because that's the most important decision any of us have ever made. Is saying yes to what Jesus did. Great. So, the next thing is, I want you to proclaim this to him as king of your life. You to give him when you come back. He is king of kings. He is the most high. And he paid it all. Beautiful. So as we sing, I want you to do business with the Lord. The Holy Spirit leads you.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.